Lizanne Flynn. I'm a master healer who holds space for any earthling as they reunite body and soul. I'm a bridge for relationships between all species so that the heart bond becomes stronger, deeper, and more loving. I serve in the roles of animal communicator, medium, and medical intuitive, and I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to support all earthlings in their recovery from past trauma. I'm certified as a Reiki master teacher and canine massage therapist. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. Happy almost St. Patrick's Day, everyone. And as my sainted mother used to say, if you're lucky enough to be Irish, you're lucky enough. So to all the FBIs out there, full-blooded Irish, that is, and even if you claim partial lineage with the Irish, however small, I would say, as my sainted father used to say, Erin go bragh, which translated is Ireland forever. This coming weekend, if you happen to find yourself in a drinking establishment, even if that's your own living room, I encourage you to change your cheers, or here's mud in your eye, as you toast yourself, or your animals, or whoever you would like to toast, to sláinte, which is spelled differently than it sounds in the Gaelic way. And while you're at it, add the go bragh on the end. So you'll be saying, to your health forever. On less formal occasions, a plain sláinte will suffice, to your health. Sure, and it doesn't have to be an alcoholic drink at all. It can be tea or coffee or soda or pop or juice or even good old-fashioned H2O. To your health forever seems like it comes straight from the animals themselves, right? On a personal note, if I haven't shared before, I was granted Irish citizenship in 2023, which means now I have dual citizenship with the United States and with Ireland, with the process being complete when I received my Irish passport. I'm second generation Irish, born in the US, and pretty much FBI on both sides of my family. Going back to the 1600s, at least that's what's been charted on my mom's side. And on my dad's side, it was his father, my grandfather, on whose coattails I was able to ride to get my FBR, foreign birth registration, which means you're an Irish citizen born somewhere else other than Ireland. It wasn't too long of a process, in case you're interested, and certainly once I got all the paperwork in hand to prove lineage, like birth and death certificates, marriage certificates, etc., you're, as the saying goes, in like Flynn, give or take a few bureaucratic hiccups. It is a government deal, after all. My dad used to wake my siblings and I up at O Dark 30 on St. Patrick's Day with Irish music played loudly and progressively earlier when we got into high school. Then we'd go eat at my aunt's house, his sister's house nearby, and not usually corned beef and cabbage, although a green-colored dessert was usually on hand, usually made with green-colored jello or marshmallow or something like that. As I've gotten older and with my own Irish citizenship, it's given me a better window, as I've mentioned before, into my dad's childhood, with both of his parents having immigrated over from Ireland, both of them in their teens, which I shudder to think any teenager capable of something like that now. There was a meme I posted about ancestral heritage recently where in a cartoon, a guy was walking along whistling a happy tune and looking really carefree. It was from a Facebook page that I like, Follies of God, and the caption was, "The guy who didn't know his cholesterol, his BMI, his net worth, his IQ, his credit score, his astrological sign, or his ancestry." I posted and replied, "How could you not know your astrological sign or your ancestry?" The broader perspective of the last two from the standpoint of energy is that your soul path flows through lifetimes in which you get to choose ancestry and around which, astrology, that human experience is mapped. They're both meant not to be defining as to soul path or soul energy. They're merely about your riding a different animal on the carousel, or you're in a different car on the roller coaster ride that you have on good old planet Earth. We get into trouble, of course, when we start to become tribal and exclusionary about either, and certainly more about lineage and how our lineage is based on being treated differently, usually worse, by other lineages throughout time, and sometimes vice versa. Certainly, the Irish have a long memory of their subjugation by Britain and their unending desire to be an independent country free from what's referred to as the Troubles, that, not unlike currently Israel and Palestine or any other two countries throughout history or two peoples throughout history. We are far less inclined to be unified in this duality through partnership and balance, and yet we call animals the small letter A, animal, referring to behavior that appears to be savage and primitive. The animals, capital A, would respond with, quote, "What's more savage and primitive than killing members of your own species because you are unable to embrace them as being your family?" Point taken, I think. And beyond cultural differences we perceive between our ethnic lineage and another's, as far as traditions go and familial relations and customs, this diversity also extends to our relationships with animals at large, I think starting with companion animals and extending to herd animals. Some cultures have ritualistic killing of sentient beings, such as dolphin. Others revere herd animals, such as cow or pig, for religious purposes, such as in India, where most Hindus share the belief that slaughtering cows is sacrilegious. Because they're thus protected, cows have multiplied to the point that India has more cattle, over 300 million, according to the USDA, than any other country. Pig is considered to be an unclean animal in Jewish tradition, in addition to their not being a ruminant, meaning cud-chewing animal, and so is considered not kosher, meaning fitting within the laws of Judaism. I don't know why they're considered unclean other than how we perceive them as rolling in mud, because even piglets will leave the area where they usually eat to defecate in another area, sort of like an outhouse inside the pen itself. They're very particular about that. From the energy of these relationships that we defined for them, of course, the herd animals on the planet, and I would include horse, sheep, alpaca, llama, and goat, to name a few, along with the aforementioned pig and cow in this group, flows our actions to a great extent and theirs to a much lesser extent. We don't often think of herd animals as being sentient individually, along the same lines as we do our cats and dogs and birds and bearded dragons. I always got to include this last one because they ask. Yet we do perceive what we call the herd instinct and herd behavior of how they move as a group rather than as individuals. The dictionary would define it as, remember, this is a human-centric dictionary, the tendency of the people in a group, the tendency of the animals in a group, to think and behave in ways that conform with others in the group rather than as individuals. The human animal is also a herd animal and at the same time an apex predator of other prey animals such as cow, pig, sheep, llama, alpaca, etc. It is only our evolution as human animal that has allowed us not to be herded ourselves, which of course we think we aren't, and which of course we can be, case in point, politics, and our socioeconomic standards and norms for ourselves and not for anyone else, especially if we're on top as an apex predator. It's not a stretch that we think of ourselves as predating on others of our species as prey, given the lack of equity among all our species members. Other herd animals do not behave in this way. When I've talked with other herd animals before, it's clear that they like being in at least twos, groups of two, or pairs of two, if not more, because they recognize themselves as prey animals. They know that their life paths are better and more sustainable the greater their numbers, and just not alone, thank you very much. They are also very much attuned to being of service, and without getting into the human-centric veganism philosophy, they understand and embrace at a very deep level exactly who they and their offspring are to our species, as well as their own ancestors. Whether that service flows from knowing that their bodies and parts of their bodies are used to nourish our bodies, another apex predator, they also know that our relationship with them has gotten really out of hand and off the rails, completely off the rails, in terms of our being able to answer their question, what purpose do we serve? Because in order for us to answer that question of what purpose do they serve, means we'd have to confront our use of them and of their bodies by us in increasingly and exponentially diabolical ways. And yes, I do mean to use a word associated with a belief system held by a majority of humans that means the deepest known contrast. As I've quoted Sir David Attenborough before, saying, humans are a plague upon the planet, most herd animals in service to us would agree. There is no longer the one-to-one relationship between predator and prey of a farmer who may own, keyword, 10 to 20 cows and a bull that he might use to feed his own family, and then use the body parts to barter from the pig farmer or the chicken farmer to get what he needs for his family and for their families. In other words, this individual relationship of the human animal to herd animals is all based on having enough. I may cut this branch off behind me and going out so far on this limb, but when our species numbers began to overwhelm available resources and we began to factory farm and use antibiotics and all other sorts of evils upon members of our own family, we began to erode the link between their lives and ours. Between our asking, what purpose do I serve as true beings of service on the planet to all others, that we began to steal the soul from future generations of our offspring, and their not knowing how to view prey from the vantage point of predator in a partnership way, and how to balance out what you needed and then balance out the needs of the sentient beings who supported your needs. Just as other animals who are both predator and prey on the planet do. And hey, here's a newsflash. We're not that special except in our own human-centric world. You know, it's my world and they all know me here and so they accept my craziness. As if I'm hearing all the herd animals say. I was able to visit Ireland over 10 years ago and really want to go back, if not perhaps move there at some point in time. I felt so at home and welcomed by the Irish people, and I heard the exclamations of my relatives just as the plane touched down, a welcoming message of, "You're finally here. Welcome home, lass." While touring Ireland, I was struck by a couple of things. Well, more than a couple, but the first couple of things really stood out. I'd see these houses, not really in neighborhoods as I know them, but a bit scattered here and there, and they'd usually have between 2 to 4 sheep grazing their front yard. It was the wildest thing. Naturally, there'd also be maybe a dog or a cat near the front porch, and I'd think, what do these people do for a living to have a house like this with 2 to 3 sheep and have it seem like no one was at home? Where do they work? I haven't a clue what they do with their sheep and whether they're used for wool gathering or maybe kept as companion animals. I just don't know. There was something about the small numbers, though, that called to mind an ancestry of people who had what they needed and considered themselves lucky to have these herd animals that supported their lives, where each new birth was something exciting and each death was a loss, certainly perhaps of potential income, yet it was also a loss of family because it was a family. These animals were considered family and their names were known and their energy was known and they were cared for and their purposes in life were honored and nurtured and fulfilled. It's a slippery slope, I think, when we perceive from a human perspective that these animals don't have feelings or thoughts, and that we look at them as objects and as less than us because they're one of a herd or maybe one of hundreds or thousands. And I don't think they want to be anthropomorphized either with our thoughts and emotions because their ancestry is gilded, y'all. It is eons in the making and as deep as the sea because their sole question of what purpose I serve is so singular. When was the last time you asked yourself, what purpose do I serve? In any relationship, let alone from prey to predator. when you're that vulnerable and at the same time so very crystal clear about your life path that you rise up and out of human animal experience to see the big picture. While you might not have hundreds or thousands of herd animals, you might have several chickens, some geese or duck, maybe a few horses, or maybe an alpaca or a llama or a goat. You might see them as doing things for you, and they do, and you may even expect them to continue simply because you own them. And you might also consider answering their question of what purpose do I serve? Like, I use your eggs to feed my family, and I sell them to support my family. Because, hey, they know who they are, and they know who you are, and they know the status of this relationship. You are not doing them any favors to shy away from your apex predator role with them. That really is a true disservice. You can say, horse, I like that you're here with me so that I can climb on your back and you can take me places to see things I might not get a chance to otherwise see. That honestly will be fine with horse because they know who they are and perhaps you do not truly see the bigger picture. The more honest you can be about what purpose they serve in your life, the smoother and easier your relationship will be with them. Because, especially in the predator and prey dance, transparency is the best policy. We're just the only ones who don't acknowledge that, and at least that's how the animals see it. Thanks for listening today. Leave a review and be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. To schedule online, go to lizanneflynn.com. Come find me on social media, Facebook, X Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I encourage you to sign up for my quarterly newsletter on my website, where I also post notices for upcoming events, the starting date of courses in the Animal's Eye View Academy, and online psychic fairs. The episodes of this podcast are available on my YouTube channel, complete with subtitles. You'll find that link in my podcast footer and be sure to subscribe. This has been the Animal's Eye View Podcast. I'll see you next time.